2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I often find in studying for things like the different giants that we face, every now and then I'll take what I'm studying or what I'm working off of, and I'll make a small note of all the particular giants that I have to fight. And I tell you what, if there was ever a giant that a lot of us would have to, you know, put a check mark next to, it's going to be this one right here. And that was the giant of staying pure. David fought with this in this text. I've preached on this. No doubt you've heard sermons out of this passage of Scripture so many a time. And immediately our minds go to, well, this is more of a sexual sin. This is more of a lust-filled endeavor. But really, we can do this with anything that feeds the flesh. Anything that encourages us to either be lazy or lustful, anything really that would entice the flesh could be a giant in and of itself. The world we live in today is so carnally minded, constantly emphasizing one's personal pleasure with the whole idea of if it feels good, do it. But we need to always remember God's restrictions as we pass through this sinful world. These restrictions are in place because our Father loves us and wants the best for us. We must be in the world for the time being, but we must not be of the world. One of the things that Danielle and I like is, you know, for the longest time we had the television down in the basement. And we didn't have cable, we didn't have anything like that, mostly because we couldn't afford it. We weren't better than it, we just couldn't. but we had the internet, and we had a Roku device, and if we were going to watch something, it would be a digital version of it, no commercials, everything was good. Well, I tell you what, we got lazy with that. We did. Normally, when I was growing up and I was watching something, my pastor taught me to have the remote control right next to you, and either change the channel, mute it, turn it off, whatever you've got to when something impure comes on, like a really bad commercial. You ever watching your television and this body is all get out commercial comes on, just disgusting, you know, and you want to have that next to you, so you turn it off. Right. Well, we were watching something yesterday, and now with more digital streaming, they've instituted commercials in there. Now, a lot of people went to digital streaming to get away from commercials. Well, now they've realized they can get some of that commercial money, and they're allowing that. So I had sat down, my phone far from me, which controls the device. A commercial comes on. And it was almost like someone let a bunch of bees in the house between Danielle and I, trying to get a hold of something to turn that commercial off. And it was just, I can't remember if it was an alcohol commercial or what it was, but it was inappropriate for the kids. It was not something I wanted spoken in my house. So we're rushing around trying to get that. That kind of perversion is everywhere, right? That kind of advertising is everywhere. And it's easy for us to become desensitized to it. And by the way, that's what the devil's trying to do, is he's trying to desensitize us to sin. Right? It's easy for us to get desensitized, and it's easy for us to fall back on convictions that we should be more tough on. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Oh, where'd I go here? I moved, I think I flipped a page. This is, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, sometimes we'll find ourselves in sin, doing things that we wouldn't expect to have come from sin. Who would know that taking a day off or not going to war would lead to a problem? And we see in this that the problem that David was about to have was one that directly affected his marriage. We also understand that not only can we get into trouble doing things that we weren't meaning to do to get into trouble, like in David's case, staying back from the battle. He didn't mean to completely blow a hole through his family. But we can also find there are things that aren't necessarily good, aren't good outside of a thing, but are good inside of a thing, right? We there's no kids in here, so I'm more comfortable talking about this. We talk about the marriage act, right? Good inside the marriage, not good outside of it, right? We see all the problems that come down to it. I was reading through something and it talked about the history of the HIV virus. And one of the things that it talked about was how it was portrayed in the media. They would take that and they would start teaching it to young children what HIV and AIDS was. But they wouldn't teach abstinence. They taught protection, they taught what it was, what it wasn't, but they didn't teach them the one thing that would prevent them from getting it when they were older. Now, I'm not comfortable teaching kids those things. I don't think that's appropriate. I think you ought to let kids be kids until a certain point when you explain it to them in a more biblical light. However, you know, that would have stopped it. Think of all the problems that we have today. The abortion rates, Plan B, different things that we've got out there to curtail the problems that come with sex outside marriage. All those things could be gone if we just abided by how God wanted it to be. So there's some things that aren't wrong until you take them out of their ability to use them. We had the side door to our house get locked. I was telling some of those that were there on Friday, could not get out the door to my house. That was the only door that locked from the outside. So if I left, I had to leave the front door unlocked. And I'm sitting there and I've got my tools out. I'm trying to fix this thing. And I can't figure out what's wrong with it. I'm looking on the inside. It should be disabled. I'm trying to pull it off of the pins, but the door was still wedged up in there. It just would not come out. The locksmith came out and he kind of took a tool, put it right into the right spot between the door and the thing and just turned it. There was a little button on the inside somebody pushed. He goes, now I don't know how that button got pushed. I go, I got an idea. My point to that is this, is he looks over at me and goes, now did you try to do this on your own? And sitting next to the door was a bunch of tools that were clearly just a little roughed up from my endeavors. I got tools just sitting there, right? Tools that would have been good in their context, right? I had Allen keys. I bent a couple of Allen keys and I scuffed up a couple other ones just trying to get into that lock. It was, well, did you try? Yeah. And I looked at the damage to them because I was using them in the wrong connotation. So sometimes sin can come from something that's good but used wrong. David, in this case, you know, I don't know why he stayed home from battle, but I do know that him staying home from battle opened him up to temptation that would later take him. Now, again, I'm not going to say that staying home is the problem or temptation is the problem. The problem was David, right? We can think of 1,000 reasons to blame on our sin, but the real reality is I did it. I was the one who got up on the roof. I was the one who had Bathsheba brought to me. I was the one, right? As the prophet would say to him later, you are the man, right? You did the things. And folks, that's where we fall. We need to understand that, that our sin matters and we are in control of whether or not we do it. And the problem is that Satan is constantly trying to take the good and move it out of its proper place. That is where this lesson begins. So we see point number one in our lesson, the dalliance. And as we go on through the different verses here, verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So what we see is the sin, right? Why do we sin? Now, I've brought this up. Many of you have been saved for decades. Many of you have heard thousands of sermons on sin. Why do we sin? Because we're sinners and we want to. Now, why do I have to put it that way? Because I can't tell you how many times I've tried to talk with people about things going on in their life, and they're not realizing that they're the ones that do the sin. They blame the devil. They blame the world. They blame everything else but the fact that they made a choice. Oh, I was having a bad day. Really? You were having a bad day and somebody else controlled your actions? I'll do that with the kids all the time. I stop asking them why they do something. I'll ask them, what were you trying to get out of it? I don't know. Well, you're the only one who would know, wouldn't you? And Xander hates that. Well, who else would know if not you? And then he stops and he has to think for a second. He goes, well, that didn't work. Yeah, but as adults, we do that. Well, I don't know why I did it. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. You were thinking you wanted that, and you reached out and you got it. You were thinking you didn't want to do the thing that God told you to do, so you didn't, right? Jonah didn't wake up on his way to Tarshish. He didn't. That's not how it happened. He chose to go. Just the same as what we talked about on Wednesday, where we make our decisions. Folks, we make our decisions towards the bad as well, and we're held responsible for it, right? So he had a dalliance here. He did something he wasn't supposed to do. And more often than not, when we're doing something we were not supposed to do, it's because we buy into the lie that despite what has happened to others, sin will turn out differently for us. My brother got into that trouble all the time. I used to say to him, Jason, if you do this, this will happen. No, I'm really good at it. And what he was really good at was driving, in his opinion. Now, he wore out 7 cars in 4 years, right? One he donated to the side of a tree. One he drove like a madman until a rod was thrown through the engine. Right? He called me one day. He goes, my car stopped working. And I'm trying to drive to see where he is. And I'm driving out to where he is. And I just see this line of oil. And he starts telling me, describing to me what part of the road he's on. I go, don't worry, buddy. I got you. Right? Oh, no, I'm really, really good. He had his license suspended in that same window of time. Right? Probably a whole lot longer than what he had it for. And would still drive like a lunatic. Right? Oh, no, I got this. This will be different because I'm good at it. Despite all the repercussions that he suffered from it, despite all of the struggles that he had, he still believed this will be different because it's me. And I can't even sit there and throw a stone at that, because that is the heart of almost every sinner in this room. Because it's me, it's going to be just a little different. Well, guess what? There's nothing different from you that's going to stop the consequences of sin. There's no different you can be that'll stop cause and effect. It'll always play out the same way. Now, it may look different from time to time, but there'll always be the same consequence, right? We can't be so spiritual and so scriptural in our dealings that sin's going to affect us differently. No. Don't play with sin. It always has the same deteriorating effect, right? David never foresaw the horrific consequences of his sin with Bathsheba. And that's us. We live in a climate and in a culture that does not recognize thinking things through. Right? Have you ever experienced that? I'm sure we all have. We're not thinking this through. Like, we were talking about that on Friday. Just the different things that are happening in politics. We're like, they're either not thinking this thing through, or they're trying to set it all on fire. It's my conclusion, is you're trying to burn it down. There's only one excuse for why we're pouring gasoline all over everything and we're playing with matches, right? We've got to be doing this. One of the biggest things that we'll see people get caught up in, and somebody who used to do credit background checks for people, I'd see this and it would break my heart. Those side car dealerships, those used car dealerships, no money down. Zero interest for the first 6 months. You know, specials like that, what are they trying to do? I'm trying to convince you to buy my product based off of the what you will pay right now price, not the what will you pay in total price, right? Again, talking to my brother, one of the many cars that he just destroyed. He went in, I think it was an $8,000 car that he bought on credit with a ridiculous interest rate. Now, why did he do that? Because he had $300 in his pocket, and $300 is what they wanted him to put down. So, oh yeah, it's a great deal. Here we go. In the end, when he had to pay it off, it was almost $20,000. Why? Because of the high interest rates. And that's how we teach young people to think in many ways. What do I pay right now versus what is this going to cost? Right? That's the trap. We need to think of our actions, not just what this is going to do right now. No, and that's where we'll come up with our excuses. No one can catch me. No one will know. This is my right. I am an adult. I can do whatever I want. What will it cost me right now? Versus what will it cost me in the long run of eternity? David didn't think about what would happen to his family. one child killing another child, a child coming after him, him having to go hide back in the caves. He didn't think in the long run of it. Adam and Eve, when they bit into that fruit, they didn't consider Abel's death. They didn't consider the death of their children. They didn't even consider children at all. All they considered was, well, this looks good. And that's how sin gets you. And I love that song that states, sin will take you farther than you intended to go, keep you longer than you intended to stay, and cost you far more than you ever intended to pay. And when we look at sin, and in David's sins in particular, we see very firstly there are sins of omission. Verse 1, that's what we're looking at. What's a sin of omission? Not doing something you're supposed to be doing. Right? David should be at battle. All of his men at battle. All the other kings at battle. Where's David? He's sitting up on a roof somewhere. We often get into trouble when we're not doing the things we're supposed to be doing. Right? There was a story told of a guy who got up and gave this testimony that one of the worst sins he ever committed happened while he was skipping church. He told everybody that he was sick, and he went out and he was going to go do a thing. And I think it was, I don't know why it's always golf, but it was golf. And then he was out there, and his buddies said, well, let's have a beer. And he says, well, it's been a while. I can have one. That's no big deal. He got drunk, and then as he was going on his way home, cop pulled him over, got in big trouble because that's against the law, right? And all the effects that came after it, he had to come forward, and he said, listen, the worst thing I've done happened while I wasn't where I was supposed to be. Now, again, we have to take responsibility for that, right? It's one thing to skip church. It's another thing to continue on in our sin. But we have choices, and we must make them intelligently. And the first choice we make is to do what we're supposed to be doing. These hands cannot get in trouble if they're doing something, right? Danielle's in Sunday school, so I can say this. Her family is a very staunchly opinionated people. And I love them. Oh, I love them. Give them hugs. It was so good to see so many of them. But they are opinionated. Now, I would say that they're Catholic or Unitarian, but the truth is they don't really care what they believe as long as they believe it and you think it's great because they believe it. That's all they care about. I could tell some of them that the sky is blue. They will argue fiercely that it's purple and I've got the wrong worldview. And it's just that's the way some of them are. And, you know, we were just kind of having those conversations with folks, and I quickly went into this realizing it because I walked in, gauged the room and how they were talking, and they were arguing with each other, and I go, okay, these hands have to do something before this mouth does. So the subject came up of who's going to set up the food. I'll set up the food. All right, well, we need somebody who can come by early and set up. I'll do it, whatever it is. You just give me the list. I will take care of it. And I got out of having to go to the Catholic Church. I got out of having to do so many different things because I'm going to do something with my hands. And I had such a good time. And I was able to minister to people. And they smiled at me and I smiled at them. And Brother Art, I got into no trouble. And everybody liked me and I liked everybody. Why? Because I kept my hands busy. Right? And folks, in church, if you're having a hard time, you're starting to struggle, you know what you need to do? You need to get these hands busy. Well, my hands don't work the way they used to. You need to be praying. Do what you can do, right? Because the moment you stop, that's when you have trouble, right? We that old cliche, idle hands are the devil's playground, or idle mind is the devil's playground. Both are absolutely true. That when you're just sitting there, that's when the flesh gets weak. So we can't just sit back and not do what we're supposed to do. David had a responsibility to his people to be serving. Now again, I don't know maybe he stayed home because there was an illness. Maybe he had an injury. I've got no idea. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot less opportunity for sin when we're serving. Today's Christians need to be serving, but many don't. We often miss opportunities for a blessing because we have decided to step out of the battle for a while. And I tell you what, that always breaks my heart. And it's always the person, I've always heard this and I've never quite liked it, but 20% of the people in the Lord's house do 80% of the work. Now, I have not experienced that here, but perhaps you felt that. Maybe perhaps that's been the case where you feel like it's you, like it's all in your hands. And you know, every now and then I'll come across somebody breaks my heart. They'll say, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being the only one. I'm tired of having this effect. I'm tired of being the one who opens my pocketbook. I'm tired of being the one who whatever that happens. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, it probably will. That's just something that happens in the flesh. We get fatigued. We get irritated. I've told that story before where we were out in the church grounds. We were doing something that nobody particularly wanted to do. And guess what we were talking about? It was a beautiful day too, Sister Glenda. It was beautiful. I mean, if you're going to be out somewhere if you're going to be out somewhere with your friends and it's a beautiful day, that should be fun. But what was the main topic of conversation? Who wasn't there? Who got to have what rake? Now, we're grown-ups. We're not kids. We're grown-ups. Who got to have what rake? Who got to drive on the tractor? And I think that's what I really kind of came to myself, and I've heard some of the other men talk about this, where they'll kind of get into that opinion where it's like, well, I feel like I'm doing a lot, but some people aren't. And that's where I kind of came to myself, realizing and going, I am being a whiner. I am whining about ridiculous things. Now, I was one who kept my mouth shut because I understood the importance of just getting a project done and whining, and we'll talk about that tonight, doesn't help anything. But I had it in my heart. And for any of you who've ever tried to do anything with that kind of business in your heart, you understand that you might as well just go home, right? So I'm sitting, I'm grumbling about this. Well, so-and-so never shows up to these things. And the next time I see him, I'm going to take my foot and just grumbling. Not realizing that, hey, this is a good time. When often do I get to see these guys, right? I've got kids. They've got kids. We're all technically always busy. We used to do this stuff all the time. What did I allow? I allowed a bad heart to ruin something. Right? And we've got to make sure that we watch our heart and are unafraid to step out and do something we're supposed to do. Right? Don't step out of the battle just because you don't think it's right. Right? Going back again to those people that just say, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore until, and I'm thinking of one particular person I grew up with that said this. He goes, I'm not doing this anymore until more people step in. And I kind of looked over him and go, listen, so what you're describing to me is that you're the only one doing this and you're going to stop. Well, yeah, it's not fair. I want everybody. I go, they're not going to feel it. Those people who don't show up, who don't come to do the work, they're not going to feel it. Why? They're at home. You know who is going to feel it? The entirety of the church, and in particular, the Lord's going to notice that. Amen. And I don't do this for their applause, and I don't do this to make life easier on anybody. I do this because God says it needs to be done, and therefore here I go to do it. Do not step out of the battle for any reason whatsoever. Now again, I put a big caveat there. Sometimes it feels when your body slows down like you are stepping out of the battle. You're not. Just change what you're doing. Right? Again, one of the strongest people I know are people who served until their bodies gave out and then just prayed the rest of the time. Those people who, regardless of what hospital bed they were in, they were giving the gospel to every nurse that came by. They would sit there and pray for hours about the church and about what's going on, just asking God for guidance and strength and whatever was needed for the task. And we also see this, James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So is it a sin for me to not do something that God has asked me to do? Absolutely. Right? If we've got the ability and we've got the knowledge and we know we're supposed to, there ought to be nothing that stops us. The next thing I want to look at, verse 5, back in our text, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Now there are several sins that are about to be committed. And I kind of sat on the fence between two. One was was laying with Bathsheba, was having an affair with this woman. The other was his plot to hide it. And then we also see the murder of Uriah. A series of sins are about to be set into motion. Now, what is it when I do something that's wrong? That's a sin of commission. That's something I've done. And of course, we know what's wrong about those. Going back to James 1 verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's where that path goes every time. Growing up, we used to have all these little trails that we would go to on my grandparents' property, and I loved them. And I realized, you know, from a young age, this dirt path goes here. Now, I could never get on the dirt path and go somewhere else. It always went to the same place. There was either the big hill in the far back. There was where my dad went hunting. There was over here where we had just like a little fort that we had built. Some of the cousins had gotten together. That path to the fort always took me to the fort. The path of sin always takes you to destruction. It doesn't matter how cool you are, how smart you are, how much money you got. It always takes you to the same end. Sins of commission. I mean, this was the king. This was a man after God's own heart who did something he wasn't supposed to do. Well, brother, I firmly believe that God forgives. God does forgive. But I tell you what, actions always have a result. Always ends the same way. I'll often say this in our house. It's a sermon that I preach often. And that is, well, what were you doing? What happened? Well, this fell over. But I didn't mean for it to fall over. Okay, but were you doing anything to prevent it from falling over? Well, no. What were you doing? We were running through the house. Okay, so running through the house wasn't necessarily tipping the jar over, but running through the house caused it? Yeah, so you're doing the thing that caused the thing. Right? Well, I don't really have a problem with drinking, but I do like to go out with the guys on a Friday for lunch at a local bar and grill. Guess where that path almost always leads? It may destroy your testimony. It may destroy your sobriety. It may destroy anything, but destruction's where you're headed. Right? We have to be mindful of what we do. We've seen so many people forced to confess publicly what they had publicly denied and hoped would remain secret. One of the first things I remember sitting in my great-grandmother's house, she used to love the news. Whenever you went to Grammy's house, there were two rules. One, you sat down and you didn't make a lot of noise. And number two, you didn't touch her curio cabinet. But I remember sitting there in front of the television when Bill Clinton was on there. I remember one day we were visiting Grammy, and that was when he did his big speech. I never touched the woman. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. All the things Bill Clinton never did. And I remember a few months later sitting in that same spot when he was on there going, I did do this. I perjured myself. I remember that. That was big news. Now, nowadays, they'll almost laud you if you don't do anything like that. If you stand up and you say that that's wrong, they'll tar and feather you for saying it's wrong. But sins of commission always have a way of coming out. Listen, we cannot keep secrets from God at all, and we cannot keep Him from bringing it all out in the open. Remember that verse, be sure your sin will find you out. And then we'll finish with this real quick. There are sins of omission, sins of commission, and then, as my pastor would teach it, sins of disposition, your attitude, right? Ah, I can't believe Brother Mark got up here and was talking about tithing or giving the 10%. I can't believe sitting there talking about that. I know what I ought to give. Well, that's not God loveth a what kind of giver? A cheerful one, right? You ever have a conversation with somebody? We were talking about the stimulus packages. Well, are we supposed to tithe on it? Are we supposed to give offering on it? What are we supposed to do? And then somebody suggested, well, you know, you ought to always give. You know, there's nothing wrong. You can never go wrong by giving. So I'd tithe on it, and then I'd probably give a little bit more into it since I've got something I didn't expect. Well, I don't know if we should go that far. Well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't, because you're going to give with a nasty heart. Can't believe I've... What's wrong with that? There's a heart problem there. Hey, listen, we need someone to come out here and vacuum the floor. So, no. Hey, we got to have a work day around here. Well, I tell you what, I don't want so-and-so touching my shovel. Why does he get to have that rake? I'm going to use that for the rest of my life. That person was 20-some-odd years old. Why did I get to have that rake? It's like, all right, Caspian, knock it off. You know, our attitude, our hearts, right? There are three different ways to sin. Omission, commission, and disposition. And we'll talk a little bit more about prevention next week. Heavenly Father,